ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैतवोत्र परमो निमत्सराणं सतं वेद्यं वस्तवं अत्र वस्तु शिवदं तपाचयोन्मूलनं श्रीमा भगवते महामुने कृते किं वा परायेश्वरा सद्यो हृद्याभरुज्यते त्रापितिभिशुषिभिस्तत्क्षणात्। You should do the word for word?
Yeah, well, normally
we
do.
Huh?
Normally
we do. You do, okay. Dharma.
Dharma.
宗教活动.
宗教活动.
Projita.
Projita.
完全剔除.
完全剔除.
Kaitava.
Kaitava.
由获利的意图所掩盖.
由获利的意图所掩盖.
Atra.
Atra.
在这里.
在这里.
Parama.
Parama.
最高的 心中百分之百纯洁的人的
Satam
奉献者
Vedyam
可理解的
Vastavam
事实的
Atra
Atra
在这里
在这里
Vastu
Vastu
实质
实质
Shivadam
Shivadam
幸福
幸福
Tapatraya
Tapatraya
三重苦
三重苦
Unmulanam
Unmulanam
导致连根拔起
导致连根拔起
Shrimat
Shrimat
美丽的
美丽的
Bhagavate
Bhagavate
国家梵往事书
国家梵往事书
Mahamuni
Mahamuni
伟大的圣者 Vyasadeva
伟大的圣者 Vyasadeva
Krite
Krite
编纂之后
编纂之后
Kim
Kim
什么
什么
Va
Va
需要
需要
Parai
Parai
其他的
其他的
Ishvara
Ishvara
至尊主
至尊主
Sadhya
Sadhya
立即
立即
Hridi
Hridi
在心中
在心中
Avarujite
Avarujite
扎根
扎根
Atra
Atra
在这里
在这里
Good to be
Great to be
由虔诚的人
由虔诚的人
Shushushubi
Shushushubi
由培养
由培养
Tatkshanat
Tatkshanat
没有延误
没有延误
Translation Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart.
译文：这部《国家梵往事书》剔除所有怀着物质动机从事的宗教活动。 呈现只有心地纯洁的奉献者才能理解的最高真理。最高真理是有别于错觉幻象的真实，可以造福众生。这样的真理根除三种苦。这部优美的《薄伽瓦坛》由伟大的圣人 Vyasadeva 在其成熟期编纂，本身已经足以使读者对神有充分的认识，因此还有什么必要读其他的经典呢？人一旦聚精会神，谦恭顺从地聆听薄伽瓦坛，至尊主就会因为这知识的培养而永驻他心间。
That was the translation.
Yes.好卡吗？就这么一波波。
should be part of the report commentary by Srila Prabhupada.
他现在阅读圣帕布帕的写的评注。
Religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation from material bondage. Do one sentence at a time.
Oh, okay. 宗教包括虔诚活动、经济发展、感官享乐和最终摆脱物质束缚这四项主要内容。
Irreligious life is a barbarous condition.
非宗教生活是一种野蛮的状态。
Indeed, human life begins when religion begins.
事实上，宗教的开始才是人类生活的开始。
Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life.
吃、睡、恐惧和交配是动物生活的四项原则。
These are common both to animals and to human beings.
这些是动物和人类共有的活动。
But religion is the extra function of the human being.
然而宗教是人类特有的。
Without religion, human life is no better than animal life.
没有宗教，人类生活就不比动物生活强。
Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization, which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God.
人类社会中，正因为如此，人类社会中才会有目标是觉悟自我，并使人了解与神的永恒关系的宗教形式。
The lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature, or in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses.
在人类文明的低级阶段，总有争着要主宰物质自然的倾向。换句话说，也就是为满足感官而相互竞争的倾向。
Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion.
受这种意识驱使，人便转向宗教。
He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material.
开始从事虔诚的活动，为了得到一些物质利益而从事宗教活动。
But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected.
但如果用其他方式就能得到这些物质利益，那些所谓的宗教就会被弃置一旁。
This is the situation in modern civilization.
这就是现代文明的状况。
Man is thriving economically, so at present, he is not very interested in religion.
人在经济富裕时就不会对宗教很有兴趣。
Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant.
教堂、清真寺或神庙现在几乎都是空的。
Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places, which were erected by their forefathers.
人们对工厂、商店和电影院比对他们的祖先建立的宗教场所更感兴趣。
This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains.
这实际上证明从事宗教活动是为了经济所得。
Economic gains are needed for sense gratification.
感官享乐需要经济收入。
Often when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord.
当人追求感官享乐受到挫折时，他就会追求解脱，试图变得与神一样。
Consequently, All these states are simply different types of sense gathering.
因此，所有这些活动都只不过是在追求不同种类的感官享乐。
This is a long commentary. I won't read the whole thing.
这是一个很长的一个要旨，所以想不会就全都讲。
Start with what we've read so far, and then we'll continue.
啊，我们呢，先就是讲我们刚才读的这两个自然段，然后到时候再继续讲。
Om Jnana Timurandasya Gahajana Ashwataya Chakshu Unminitanina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Kuroti Vachanam Pangam Vangayate Garim Yakripata Mahambande Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vidanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachavane Vishesha Shambhavari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So in his commentary Srila Prabhupada isintroducing the subject of the first sentence of this verse.
啊，在这个帕帕德在他的这个要旨里头，他现在实际上是在解释这一节诗的那个第一句话。
Generally, Srila Prabhupada is very systematic in the way he presents things.
嗯，当帕帕德呈现什么的时候，他是非常有系统的去做的。
And he's taking this first sentence of this verse.And explaining a very important point in relationship to it.
啊，那么他呢，先是就是拿出这个第一句话来去解释，然后呢，就是讲它其中的关系。
And especially because one of the responsibilities of the acharya, such as Srila Prabhupada, when presenting the conclusions of Vedic literatures.Is to present it in such a way that it is understandable to everyone.
哈，当这个灵性导师前辈的灵性导师，包括这个圣帕帕德，当他们要讲解这些个经典的时候，他们都是通过以让人能够懂的方式去讲解。
And generally, as we experienced, as I personally experienced when Prabhupada was present, that he was very, very in tune with.What the audience need to hear.
那就是一般的情况，我们大家都有体会。那至少我自己的体会是，就是他每一次都是根据当时的听众的这个情况，然后去做出解释。
He would oftentimes answer the questions before they were asked.
他经常是在人家还没有问问题之前，他已经回答了那个要问的问题了。
Because he could anticipate exactly.What people were thinking about when they hear these statements of Shastra.
因为他能够预知到，就是说，人们当他聆听到这些个经典的时候，他们会想什么。
And that is why we place such a great value on his commentaries.
这就是为什么我们那么的重视他的要旨的这个部分。
Because his commentaries make the subject matter more accessible to our mentality.
因为他所做的这些个评注对于我们现有的心态意识状态来说是更加可以接受的
especially if we look at the body of knowledge contained within the Vedas
啊，尤其是当我们看一看就是整个韦达经里面所包含的这些个知识体
we'll see a very very vast body of knowledge
然后我们就会发现实际上韦达经是非常浩瀚的
Srimad Bhagavatam is only the author's commentary on his own Vedanta Sutra.
这个整个这部圣典博伽瓦坛只不过是这个作者对他所写的那个韦坦达经所做的那个评注而已。
And Vyasadeva compiled a whole body of knowledge called the Vedas.
这个韦阿萨德夫他写出了整个的这个一个知识总体叫做韦达经
and the Vedas speak about all aspects of human life
而韦达经里头呢讲了人类生活的方方面面
and if one tries to study the Vedas, it's very difficult to understand what is the actual goal of the Vedas.
一个人如果想要对韦达经进行深入的研究的话，实际上是非常非常困难的。他想要想搞清楚韦达经到底他最后讲的那个最终目标是什么，是很困难的。
Because Vyasadeva, when he compiled the Vedic literature, he also anticipated that not everybody could accept the goal of the Vedas immediately.
因为实际上当Vyasadeva 当他在撰写这个韦达经的时候，他也能够知道，实际上不是每一个人最后能够了解这个韦达经到最后要达到的那个最高的目的是什么。
He presented various systems of knowledge and sacrifices performed, whereby people could gradually come to understand the goal of the Vedas.
他呢是呈现的方式就是，首先是非常有系统的知识介绍了，然后又介绍了怎么样做祭祀牺牲，这样把人们一步一步的就带到韦达经的那个最高的目的。
And factually, that's what he did when he compiled the body of Vedic wisdom.
所以说这个实际上就是当他在整个编纂韦达经典的时候，他就是这么做的。
There's the Rig Veda, the Ajur Veda, the Sama Veda, the Atharva Veda, four Vedas.
Rig Veda, Ajur Veda, Sama Veda, 一共四部韦达经。
Then Vyasadeva compiled his Vedanta Sutra.
然后接下来这个四部韦达经完了以后，他又编纂了韦丹的经，韦丹的 Sutra。
Mahabharata.
然后就又写了 Mahabharata 的史诗。
And after compiling such a wealth of Vedic wisdom, which he was empowered to do.
他呢，因为被赋予了力量，因此他就整个的编纂了那么多的韦达文献。
He still felt some dissatisfaction within the heart.
但是呢，即使做完所有这一切，他的心中还是觉得有不满足的地方。
And therefore, Narada Muni, his spiritual master, understanding what Vyasadeva was experiencing.
所以呢，他的灵性导师 Narada Muni， 他能够明白 Vyasadeva 内心到底在经历什么东西。
Because generally, this is we said, this is Prabhupada is presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam with his commentaries, understanding our disease.
就像是实际上圣帕布帕德在这个翻译了这个这些经典以后，加上了他的要旨和评注，他是在明白我们现代人的这些个心态的情况下去做的。
Narada Muni understood Vyasa's reasons for his lamentation.
而这个Vyasadeva 的灵性导师 Narada Muni， 他能够明白为什么 Vyasadeva 做完所有这一切感到非常的悲哀不舒服。
Just as an Ayurvedic physician, he places his hands on the arm.Takes your pulse, and immediately he can understand the disease by your pulse.
全你说说，这就像韦达的那个医生跟那个中医一样，给我们号脉的时候，一下就能够明白到底是怎么回事。
In fact, I was just in an Ayurveda clinic, just came from there.
他说实际上我刚刚从那个 Ayurveda 的那个诊所来，我从那边来。
And in the clinic, there was the head doctor. He just goes around and just.
在那个 Ayurveda 的
doesn't talk to anybody.
在 Ayurveda 的诊所里头，那个医生就是每一个病人，他就去，然后就号脉给他们，不讲话。
Just comes in. Takes the pulse, turns to all his assistants who are surrounding him, says a few words, and he's gone.
就是那个阿威的诊所里头那个最高的那个医生，主治医生嘛，他进来以后他也不跟任何讲话，然后他就号脉，号完脉以后就对着围着他周围的这些个助手们说几句话，然后就走了。
Because he can understand the disease simply by taking the pulse.
因为他仅仅就是号脉，他就能够明白那个到底在生什么病。
So our Vaishnava acharyas are like Ayurvedic physicians.
那么 Vaishnava 的这些前辈的灵性导师就像 Ayurveda 的那些的医生一样。
Except they are physicians not for material disease.
当然了，他们就是诊断的病不是说是物质的那种疾病。
They are expert physicians in understanding what is the cause of despondency.
他们的那个精通之处就是 OK， 明白就我们目前的现在这种状态是由什么造成的。
What are the attachments that are there within the heart.
我们每个人的心中的那些执着到底是什么？
And what are the obstacles that each person needs to overcome?
每一个人在前进的路途上所要 征服克服的那些个障碍究竟是什么。
So he can come to a healthy position spiritually.
然后让那个人最后在灵性上变得健康起来。
Although Vyasadeva is an empowered literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord,
尽管 Vyasadeva 是被赋予了力量的至尊主的文学化身。
In this pastime, he displayed the characteristics of somebody who needed to accept a spiritual master.
但是呢，在我们现在阅读的这个娱乐活动里头，他演出一种角色，就是人需要一位灵性导师。
To teach by example.
他实际上是以身作则的在教导我们。
And although the vast body of Vedic wisdom he compiled was perfect in its compilation.
尽管他所编纂的整个的这么浩瀚的伟达知识体系实际上是非常完美的。
Because Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas for this age of Kali Yuga.
因为实际上 Vyasadeva 他是在为这个卡利年代的人在编纂整个这些知识。
Because one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is that duration of life is very short.
因为这个卡利年代的其中一个特点就是人们的寿命越来越短。
Memory is not so good.
我们的记忆力也不是很好。
And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it states many symptoms of Kali Yuga because of the shortness of duration of life.
那圣典博迦瓦坛里就描述了人们就是因为他的寿命变得越来越短，什么表现出来那些个征象。
And because it's the age of hypocrisy.
还有就由于这个虚伪纷争的这个年代。
That Vyasadeva writes in his commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam, in this age, people are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky.
Vyasadeva 在他的就是对于那个维达那经的这个评注里面就写了，这个卡利年代里的人寿命很短，是吧？那个特别懒惰，然后就动不动就打架，然后就很多不好的品质。
And above all, they're always disturbed.
然后呢，心里头老是受打扰。
So that previous to Kali Yuga, all the Vedic of wisdom was simply transmitted to oral reception.
Previous Kali Yuga.
Previous to Kali Yuga.
To Kali Yuga. Okay.在其实，在卡利年代之前到来之前，所有的年代里头，那个知识是透过口传的。
The self-realized souls would speak, the audience would hear, and they would remember everything.
那个觉悟了自我的人就会讲述，而那些个听众就会聆听，听完了以后什么就都明白了。
Duration of life was longer.
那个时候的人的寿命更长。
Human life was more wholesome.
wholesome.而且呢，他们就都服从神的法律。
And therefore, in general, they were satisfied.
所以正因为如此，他们一般情况下都是很满足的一个状态生活。
The minds weren't so disturbed.
Right?
Minds, their minds weren't so disturbed.
Okay, 他们的内心不是那么的纷乱。
Their memory was very powerful.
他们的记忆力是非常强大。
Their perception was powerful.
他们的觉知力也是非常强的。
And therefore, they could remember everything spoken to them.
因此呢，无论对他们说什么，他们马上就全部都记住。
And immediately apply it.
然后立刻就去运用。
But because of Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva, understanding the symptoms of the age which was approaching, he compiled all this wisdom into literary form.
但是呢，由于卡利年代的这种不好的一些个特征，而 Vyasadeva 他能够预见到马上卡利年代就要来了，因此他就为我们准备了所有这些个经典。
Because the Vedas are not some manufactured knowledge manufactured in somebody's fertile mind.
Yeah. 那个伟达文献、伟达经这些知识，不是什么某一个人自己脑子里头然后就乱想就编出来的东西。
Srimad Bhagavatam states, Dharmam tu sakshat Bhagavat hipanitam, that the principles of religion of Dharma are coming from the Supreme Lord.
圣典摩迦瓦坦里就说了，整个的宗教原则 Dharma 是从至尊主那里来的。
It's not manufactured by people who have defects.
并不是被一些个有缺陷的人类然后编纂出来的。
It's not like, for instance, if all of us we're having a meeting tonight, we said, let's make some laws for Taipei that everyone will follow.
并不是说我们大家一起坐在一起开会，然后一起说 OK， 让我们现在制定一下台北的制定一些为台北制定一些法律。
We're a group of intelligent people.
啊，我们现在就是都对所有的有智慧的人公开。
They need a better system of laws.
啊，他们都需要有更好的一个。
The laws they have right now are useless.
啊，现在那法律一点用都没有，他们需要有更好的法律。
Let's make new laws for them.
让我们为这情况，我们编一些个新的法律。
Something that they can all follow and understand how beneficial it is and completely accept.
好，然后我们编一些个所有的人都能够明白，所有人都能够遵循的啊，接受的法律。
So we can sit and talk for days and days and days.
我们可以坐在这儿一天复一天的不断的讨论。
But when it comes to making our decisions as laws for everyone to follow.
但是呢
nobody will follow.
我们自己就发现了 OK 到最后终于写下来了需要大家去遵守的时候还没有人遵守。
We can't manufacture laws.
我们可以去编造一些法律。
The government has to enforce the laws.
Government has
to enforce the laws.
政府会必须要强迫我们
必须是执法人，
执法人。
And therefore, they have the authority to create laws and to enforce them.
啊，那他们呢就有他们的这种权威，就可以去编制定一些法律，然后去执行。
Similarly, we cannot manufacture religion.
啊，这同样的道理，我们不能去编这个宗教，编造宗教。
In universal affairs, there is a higher platform from which religion is coming from.
实际上从整个宇宙体来说，那个宗教是从更高的层面来的。
We can't introduce a new religion.
当然了，
What's new religion?
好，我们we can, we
cannot,
cannot. 对，我们不能够去介绍一些什么所谓的新的宗教。
What people sometimes use is, this is a new religion.
有的时候人们就说这是一个新的宗教，一门新的宗教。
Who made it a new religion?
但是谁编的这一套新的宗教？
So there's no such thing as a new religion.
实际上并没有什么新的宗教这种事情。
Because religion is as old as the personality from whom religion came from.
啊，实际上呢，这个宗教它是古老的，是有这个那个人。的人性，而且是从那个原始的那个人来的。
So if we take that religion, and then we impose some interpretation of that religion that makes it different, then we can say, oh, this is new religion.
所以一般情况我们都是拿那种原始的宗教，然后去编、去改、去加一些东西，然后可以说这就是新的宗教。
And sometimes people, they like to become...recognized for having something new because that's the symptom of Kali Yuga.
而且还特别有意思，人们就喜欢就是因为自己编造了一些新的东西，然后被大众认可，这样，因为这是Kali年代的特点，所有的人就是这样。
I heard that before. I need something new.
人们都是这个样子。哎呦，这个东西我以前都听过了，我现在需要一些新的东西。
And then when somebody says, I've got something new, oh.
然后有人就说了啊，我有一些新的东西，哦，大家就觉得特别的。
And then he thinks, yeah, everybody likes me because I've got something new.
然后呢，他自己就自认为说，哦，大家都喜欢我，因为我现在创造了一些什么新的东西。
And they become very popular.
我就变得受就公众的瞩目。
I've got a new religion.
现在有了一个新的宗教。
And everybody can follow me.
现在所有的人都可以跟随我了。
Everybody will make sacrifices for me.
然后所有的人都会为我而牺牲。
I'll become very wealthy, very powerful, very famous.
我会变得非常的富有，非常的强大有力，非常的著名。
But unfortunately, that's not religion.
但是不幸的是，那不是宗教。
Because Dhammam tu Sakshat Bhagavati Pranitam, principles of religion come from the Supreme.
因为实际上宗教的原则是来自至尊主。
And these religious principles cannot be changed.
而宗教原则是不能被改变的。
According to time and place, they may be introduced in a way which is more accessible to the people.
啊，我们有的时候是根据时间和空间的变化，我们把那个原则怎么样让当地的当时的人更加容易接受而已。
But the principles are always the same.
但是原则永远都是同样的。
Religion means to know who is the supreme.
宗教是什么？要知道谁是至尊者。
What is my relationship with him?
我跟他的关系是什么？
And how do I act according to that relationship?
啊，我怎么样的去恢复去建立这样的关系？
And unless we come in contact with the supreme,
啊，这个就是我们最后就跟至尊者就是有了接触。
It's not religion.
如果没有这种接触的话，就不是宗教。
Therefore, a real religious leader is not somebody who imposes his own interpretations on religion.
所以，真正的宗教领袖不是那个自己去编造一些个什么所谓的宗教原则，然后去介绍给人，不是那种人。
A real religious leader is somebody who makes these principles of religion accessible to everyone.
真正的宗教领袖是把已经有的那些个宗教原则，最后怎么能够让大众更加容易接受？
And ultimately connects everyone to the supreme.
最终让所有的人跟至尊主可以连接起来。
Not to himself.
不是他自己。
Not to his own fertile brain that's manufactured some system of religion.
对，不是就是跟他去做什么连接，也不是说让他自己的小脑袋里头，然后就编造出一些个所谓的那些个宗教，不是那种东西。
So Srila Prabhupada is getting right to the point right away. He just cuts away at all the misconceptions.
所以圣帕帕呢就是这样，直截了当的就把那个要点谈出来，把所有的误解全部都给他剔除。
And why is he doing that?
他为什么这么做呢？
Because Vyasadeva is doing it.
因为韦阿瑟德夫这么做。
Vyasadeva, in the very beginning, in his commentary to all that Vedic wisdom.Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. It's called the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic wisdom.
这个圣典国家瓦坛是伟达，就是 Vyasadeva 他所编纂的所有的那个伟达知识里面的那个成熟的果实，那棵树上的成熟的果实。
Because although Vyasadeva was well intentioned by compiling that big body of knowledge called the Vedas,
尽管 Vyasadeva 当时他是一片好意的，然后就把所有的知识编纂起来，是那么的浩瀚。
The difficulty is that in the age of Kali Yuga, where people have short minds, lazy, always disturbed, unlucky.
但是困难点在于什么呢？卡利年代里头的人都是寿命很短，记忆力很差，总是被打扰，而且非常的懒惰。
When they see all these different varieties of processes of religion, they don't know which one to choose.
然后呢，当在处在这样一个状态下的人们看到那么浩瀚的一个知识的时候，他不知道到底我应该选择哪一门。
And not only do they not know which one to choose, generally they'll pick something that's very pleasing to themselves.
他们不仅是不知道应该选择哪一个我应该遵循，而什么呢？他们就会在里头找什么东西是觉得他自己觉得很高兴，让他很高兴的东西去。
Even though Vyasadeva put the whole body of knowledge in perfect sequence.And brought everyone to the goal.
尽管维亚圣维亚瑟德夫，他就是这个整个的介绍的这个浩瀚的知识体系是非常有系统的，一步一步把人带到最高的那个层面。
In Kali Yuga, people just pick what they want. Say, "Oh, that's good."
但是在卡利年代，很多人呢，他就只是就挑选出他喜欢的那个东西。哦，这个挺好的。
I want that.
我要这个。
I can perform sacrifices and get wealth.
啊，我可以就是做这个祭祀，然后得到这个钱。
And it's religion.
啊，这个不就是宗教了吗？
It's the goal of religion.
这个就是宗教的目的。
But Vyasadeva didn't say it was the goal of religion.
啊 ，Vyasadeva
didn't say it was the goal of religion.
对，但是 Vyasadeva 并没有说这个就是宗教的目标。
Vyasadeva said no. It's a process that when someone can get to, gradually leads them to the goal.
啊 ，Vyasadeva 说的是，你做这个是为了你能够下一步再逐步逐步的最后到那个更高的目标。
But it's hidden to people in Kali Yuga.
但是呢，这个在卡利年代，他们就是整个是盲目的，看不到。
How can he read all the Vedas?
他怎么能够去懂
这些伟大？ How can he memorize all the Vedas?
而且他怎么能够记得住这些伟大？
They'll simply get lost.
最后他们就完全迷失在浩瀚的知识的海洋里。
Pick and choose.
然后他们就会自己挑选，自己选择。
And won't even be able to follow it strictly.
而且呢，他们甚至不能够严格的遵守介绍的那些个原则。
And they'll go to hell.
然后接下来怎么办呢？
In the name of religion.
就去地狱了。他们好像打着这种宗教的名义，但是最后就走向地狱。
So Narada Muni said to Vyasadeva, "Vyas, you compiled this whole body of Vedic wisdom."
那Narada Muni 就跟 Vyasadeva 说了 ，Vyasadeva, 你整个的编纂了所有的这些伟达知识。
Took his pulse.
但是呢，就号脉一下。
And said, "Vyas, you're not satisfied, right?"
啊，他说，然后就说，哎 ，Vyasadeva, 你好像不满足，哎，对吗
？How do you know?
Vyasadeva, 你怎么知道
？I know. I can tell you're not satisfied.
啊，我知道，我知道你不满足。
The reason why you're not satisfied.
你不满足的原因是
？Is because although you were thinking of the welfare of the people in the age of Kali.
啊，你不满足的原因是。尽管你在考虑给卡里年代以后的人们的利益
，You forgot in the age of Kali that people won't be able to remember even a fraction of one fraction of a percent of what you've written.
他说问题是什么呢？你写了那么多那么多，但是卡里年代里头的人哪怕记住一点点都记不住。
Why don't you take the essence of all that you've written?
你为什么不能够把这么浩瀚的知识，把那个精华给抽取出来
？And establish the goal very clearly for everyone.
然后把那个目标说得非常的清楚，让每一个人都明白。
And in this way, you make everything that you've given in the Vedas accessible to everyone in Kali Yuga.
这样的话，你就把你在伟达经里给人们的所有的东西，让卡利年代人能够容易接受。
On the strength of those instructions, Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary to Vedanta Sutra.
啊，那因为有接受了这样的一种训示，因此呢，他 Vyasadeva 就把他原来写的那个伟丹的 Sutra 伟丹的经就写了评注。
It's called the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature.
而这个他写的这个评注被称为伟达知识之树上。成熟的果实。
It's the most ripened fruit.
意思是说，这是那颗最成熟的果实。
Most ripened fruit is generally very sweet.
而最成熟的果实一般都是非常甜美的。
And Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit.
而圣典博迦瓦兰就是那个成熟的果实。
Why is it the ripened fruit?
为什么是成熟的果实呢
？In the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam.
在圣典博迦瓦兰的第二。
Vyasadeva says.
Vyasadeva 说
that this Srimad Bhagavatam completely rejects all religious activities which are materially motivated.
Vyasadeva 说这部《博迦梵网》书剔除所有怀着物质动机从事的宗教活动。
That's what we're reading right here in the first verse. He established who is the supreme. Janmanjasya yaton bhayada taratashti tashvigisharat.Srimad Bhagavatam establishes who is the supreme lord.
他在第一节诗里头首先先确立谁是那位至尊者。
Teni Brahma Hidahi Adikaviye Muyanti Yatsurya, who revealed the depths of Vedic wisdom into the heart of Lord Brahma.
他呢就是把这个主 Brahma 心中的那个伟达的那个智慧全部都揭示出来。
He's the highest truth.
这个是一个最高的真相真理。
And here. Vyasadeva saying in the second verse.
然后呢，在这 Vyasadeva 又讲了第二解释。
That the Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all materially motivated religious activities.
啊，说这个圣典维达瓦南剔除所有怀着物质动机所从事的宗教活动。
Which propounds the highest truth.
啊，这个是最高的一个原真相。
And is understandable.
而且是可以理解的。
By those who are pure in heart.
啊，他就是呈现只有心地纯洁的人，他就理解了最高的真理。
So,
第二句。
Someone may say, "Wow, I'm not pure in heart."
那人们可能就说了，哎呦，那我心里头一点都不纯洁呢。
So it looks like Vyasa made another mistake.
那也许 Vyasa 又犯了一个错误了。
If this Bhagavatam is only understood by those of pure heart,
如果这个圣典薄伽瓦南只有那些心地纯洁的人才能够了解。
And at the age of Kali Yuga, nobody's pure in heart.
那在他的年代里头，没人心地纯洁啊。
He made another mistake. He's going to have to write something else.
说他又犯了一个错误，他应该写别的东西。
But the beauty of the Bhagavatam.
但是圣典薄伽瓦坛的美
is the because the Bhagavatam is so establishes the goal right from the very beginning.
它的美就在于它从一开始就把那个目标很明确的提出来。
And makes Krishna accessible right from the very beginning.
它把 Krishna 从最开始就让人们
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.Right from the very beginning.
所以就是 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, 就是我们看到第一节诗的第一句话，从一开始就把。
That anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么每一个人，他一旦聆听到圣典薄伽瓦坛
，can immediately become purified in heart.
他的心一下子就开始得到了净化。
Because the message is completely pure.
因为那个信息是那么的纯洁。
And because the message is so completely pure,
由于那个信息是那么的纯洁，百分之百纯洁。
Even those with impure hearts,
哪怕你的心是不纯洁的
become purified simply by hearing it.
仅仅通过聆听这一句，你的心就被得到了净化。
Whereas other systems or sacrifices, which are presented to attract people's minds,
好，那其他的那些个。呈现出来只是为了吸引人的注意力的那些个所谓的方法或者是程序
which are manufactured
啊，而且是编造的哦
and are materially motivated
而且是有物质动机的
can't do that
根本就做不到这一点能够让人马上的进化
people follow
你看那么多人去遵循这些东西
or sometimes only in name they follow
或者说有的时候他们只是名义上在遵循
and even if they get to the goal
哪怕是他的最后到了所谓的 OK 达到那个目标
I strictly following
啊，就是严格的遵守然后到达那个层面
They'll think the goal is something else besides coming in contact with the Supreme
啊，他刚才 I have to I say whole thing because Chinese different
OK go ahead
okay, 就是这个信息是那么的纯洁人们一旦听了这一句话哪怕你不纯洁你已经纯洁了但是呢人们现在去遵循所有其他的别人编纂出来的那些宗教原则那有的人是名义上遵守有的人是真的非常认真的遵守但是等到你遵守完了以后你好像达到了那个目标是什么呢也并不是跟神连接而是其他的一些东西
And Krishna says this right at the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita.
而 Krishna 在薄伽梵歌当中一开始就说明。
He said, "Men who are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas."
说有一些人。
Yamimam pushpatam bhacham, pravadanti pavasjita, vedavararata prata nanyadastini varuna. Yes.Yes, go ahead. No,
okay. Yes. Okay. 所以呢，这个Krishna 在一开始就在那。
I was trying to remind myself what Krishna was saying.
Krishna 在这个薄伽梵歌里就说的很清楚了，有一些人是被《韦达经》里面的华丽辞藻所吸引。
He said many were attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas.
嗯。
Which recommend various types of sacrifices.
那些个华丽辞藻最后给人介绍的都是各种各样的祭祀、牺牲那些东西。
For elevation to heavenly planets.
他们是为了提升到天堂星球，才受这些华丽辞藻的吸引。
Result in good birth.
啊，他们希望得到更好的出身。
Material opulence.
啊，希望得到物质上的富有。
He's saying these are the flowery words of the Vedas.
他说，实际上这些东西都是韦达经里头的那些个，就是华丽的那些个词藻而已。
Just like the attractive flowers on a tree.
就像你看那个树上特别有吸引力的那些个鲜花。
Which are poisonous.
啊，但实际上是有毒的。
Flowers are very attractive.
哎，那个花是很有吸引力的，但是是有毒的花。
But they're poisonous.
嗯，他们是有毒的。
So Krishna is saying people who are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend all these types of different types of sacrifices.
啊，所以 Krishna 就说那些个就是受这些个专门告诉人家怎么样做各种各样的献祭啊、牺牲，然后得到好结果的这些个华丽辞藻吸引的人。
They think that this is the goal.
他们以为那个就是。人生的目的了。
There's nothing more than this. This is what the Vedas are all about.
啊，他们以为韦达经所讲的就是这些，没有别的了。
And Krishna says, because being attached to sense gratification and opulent life, they think there's nothing more than this.
嗯，他 Krishna 说，那些人因为受感官享乐和富裕的这些情况的吸引，因此他们以为到达什么天堂星球就是生命的最高目的了，好像没有别的了。
So even if they get the goal of all their sacrifices.
说这些人哪怕最后得到了献祭祭祀牺牲的结果的话。
They're poisonous flowers.
但是那些只不过是有毒的花。
They'll get sense gratification.
啊，最后人们就会得到感官享乐。
They'll get opulent life.
啊，他们可能就是就变得富有。
They may get elevation to heavenly planets.
也许他们也就提升到了天堂星球。
But it's all temporary.
但是所有这一切都是短暂。
And when they exhaust the results of all their sacrifices.
当这些人对他们做的所有这些个祭祀牺牲的结果最后都觉得厌倦了的时候
They'll get enjoyment.
啊，他们当然了，最后他们会得到这些个享受。
Maybe even be for thousands of years.
啊，也许呢，他们的那些享受可能是成千上万年。
But it's temporary.
但是所有这一切都是短暂。
And the soul is eternal.
而灵魂是永恒的。
Srila Prabhupada says it's just like a person who works very hard and amasses a very big bank balance.
啊，所以说就像圣帕巴德就说了，就像那个人，他就是特别辛苦的工作，然后但是呢，最后就没有那个平衡，
银行有很大，
对，就是很富有。
It's like a person performs sacrifices and gets a big balance of future pleasure.
对，就像我刚刚有一句是翻错了，实际上他就说就很辛苦的在做祭祀，那现在就说很辛苦的在赚钱，然后让自己的银行里头好像有很多很多的存款，那他们是就是上天堂去。
So everyone knows that if you start withdrawing, and don't put anything back in your bank account.
Have
you ever tried that before?
但是呢，就是我们大家都明白，如果我们有一个很就是银行的数字很大，但是我们一直不断的从里头拿钱往外拿钱往外拿钱，但是从来都不再往里头放，以前都试过这个。
Eventually, the account is going to run dry.
到最后怎么样了？银行里就空了，没钱了。
It's the same thing for these different types of sacrifices.
所以说，这些个从事不同的献祭、祭祀、牺牲是同样的。
I perform so many sacrifices. I've got a lot of pious results coming to me.
哈，我从事了那么多的祭祀、牺牲，哇，我积累了很多的善报，就是那个功德。
And what depletes that bank account of pious results?
那什么是就是？比喻说是在从那个积累的钱程活动里头，那个银行里拿钱呢，往外拿呢。
Enjoy。
那不就是享受吗？享受那个结果，就是实际上就是。
We're enjoying。
等于在消耗我们的功德，就是享受。
And that enjoyment is actually taking out a deposit after deposit after deposit from our bank account to pay us.
所以说我们曾经积累了那么多的功德，然后接下来我们就有机会享乐了。我们不断的享乐，不断的享乐，其实就是把那些个积累的东西全部再花光。
And a foolish person thinks this is great. I'm enjoying.
啊，那愚蠢的人就想说，哦，这太棒了，我在享受。
This is the goal of life.
这个就是人生的目的。
Nothing better than this.
没有什么比这个更好的。
Just enjoy forever.
啊，那我就是永恒的享受吧。
And I don't have to do any more sacrifices.
哎呦，我就再也不需要再做那些个辛苦的什么。
I just gonna enjoy.
我只要享受就好。
But he doesn't know how the laws of karma work.
但是呢，他不知道那个业报的定律，那个功德的失去是怎么回事。
He's not in touch with the lawmaker.
啊？
He's not in touch with the lawmaker.
他没有那个就是闹钟啊，设立闹钟。
He's accepted the manufactured laws.
啊，他呢只接受那个这个编纂出来的那个法律。
I like those laws better.
啊，他就觉得哦，我更喜欢这样的法律，就人编出来。
I don't want to follow the laws of the government.
啊，我可不希望想就是遵守这个政府制定的法律。
I'll follow the laws of these people put together in the room last night. That's much better.
我更喜欢昨天晚上聚在这里的那些人自己编的那些法律更好。
And one of their laws is that drive on the left, don't drive on the right.
啊，那个他们其中的一项定律就是说，这个从靠左走，不要靠右走。
So we go out on the street and say, okay, we got a new law, drive on the left.
然后我们到街上以后说好，我就靠左边行驶。
Well, many things could happen. We can get into a car accident.
本来政府说应该往右，在右边行驶，我们非要到左边行驶，结果可能就会发生很多事。其中一个就是车祸。
The representative of the government will say,You're driving on the wrong side of the road.
啊，那然后呢？那个政府的代表就说：“哎，你现在在错的那一边在行驶。”
Oh no, it's the right side of the road.
啊，没有了，这个就是正确的。
Did you hear people made a new law?
啊，那你应该去听那些个不同法律的人说话。
I'm on the right. On the left side is the right proper side of the road.
哎，我现在在左边行驶，那就是正确的。
So many people do that. They just simply think, "Oh, I'm going to enjoy and take."That system of religion, which sounds very attractive.
所以就是这样，绝大多数人就是想，哦，反正我就要享受，然后呢，我就是去遵循那些人编出来的，看起来挺有吸引力的那些所谓的宗教。
After all, isn't that what the goal of religion is?
啊，这最终，毕竟宗教的目标不就是这个吗？让人享受啊。
The goal of religion is to become happy.
啊，
To become happy.
啊，对，这个宗教的最后的结果原则就是要让我快乐。
Prabhupada is explaining, yes, there are four principles of religion.
Prabhupada 在这个经典里就要旨里就说了，实际上这个宗教有四项主要的活动。
Dharma.
啊，这个宗教。
Artha.
啊，这个经济发展。
Kama.
感官享乐和最后的解脱。
People perform religious activity in order to get artha.Economic benefits.
那人们实际上他从事虔诚的活动，遵循一些宗教，就是为了能够变得更富有，经济发展。
So that they can get karma enjoyment.
啊，有了钱就可以享受。
And then when they become frustrated with all their enjoyment because it doesn't satisfy themselves.
然后呢，他们享乐到最后，他们就会觉得特别厌倦了。为什么呢？因为这种享乐并不能够满足灵魂本身的需要。当他们感到厌倦的时候
，Then they want moksha, liberation.
最后就要 moksha, 就要解脱。
I want to become free from all of it.
我现在想要摆脱所有这一切。
Just liberated.Completely, I don't want to be involved in any of these things.
我要解脱，我所有这一切我都不要。
But this is called Purusharth.
这个称为 Purusharth.
It is actually Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is all what Vyasadeva is describing as the Chini religion.
啊，这就是什么呢？实际上，所有这一切，也就是从事虔诚活动。所谓宗教，然后经济发展，感官享乐，做解脱。Vyasadeva称这些活动实际上是欺骗宗教。
Because Srila Vyasadeva in this Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the Parama Purusharth.
Vyasadeva 在这个圣典博伽瓦塔里头给我们的是 Parama, Parama.
Parama means highest.
最高的 Parama 是最高的。
The highest.Highest system of religion.
啊，是给了我们最高的宗教体系。
This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth.
啊，这个博伽梵往事书，它是给予的最高的真理。
Which is beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha.
这个最高的真理完全超越所谓的这个宗教啊，这虔诚活动、经济发展、感官享乐和解脱。
Right from the very beginning, it establishes truth as Krishna.
也就是说，从一开始就把 Krishna 的真相就给我们确立下。
And in every page of Srimad Bhagavatam, it glorifies the method for serving Krishna.
然后在整个的圣典国家法坛里所有的篇章都在赞美荣耀为绝对真理 Krishna 做奉爱服务的光荣
and it is so accessible and so pure
它是那么的纯洁
that even simply by hearing about Krishna
哪怕仅仅是聆听有关 Krishna
we are performing the highest service
我们实际上现在就在从事最高的服务。
It's the highest service.
这是最高级的服务。
All we have to do is hear.
我们唯一要做的就是聆听。
And it's the highest method of pleasing the Supreme.
这个是什么呢？是能够让至尊主最高兴的、最佳的方法。
Because it's immediately establishing our connection with the Supreme.
因为他这么做，让我们立刻就和那位至尊主建立了关系。
Why?
为什么呢?
Because Vyasadeva gave us this ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic wisdom.
因为 Vyasadeva 给了我们这个伟达知识之树上的那颗成熟的果实。
And not only did he give us that ripened fruit,
而且他不仅给了我们那个成熟的果实,
but he passed it down through disciplic succession.
他还透过师徒传承把这个成熟的果实传递了下来。
From one teacher to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah, 一代一代的灵性导师传下来。
Who doesn't manufacture anything?
这些老师都没有自己去编点什么东西。
But simply presents the message of Bhagavatam.
他们只是把圣典博伽瓦坛里头的信息给我们呈现出来。
And exactly as the same way as Vyasadeva intended it to be spoken.
而他们做的这个方式跟 Vyasadeva 编纂整个圣典博伽瓦坛的方式是一样的。
And in this way, anyone who comes in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam,
那这样的话，任何一个最后接触到圣典博伽瓦坛的人
immediately comes in contact with Krishna.
他就立刻和 Krishna 就接触。
And his devotional service begins.
然后他奉爱服务就开始了。
Simply by hearing.
仅仅透过聆听。
That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam.
这个就是圣典博伽瓦坛的力量。
And therefore, Vyasadeva says that.It is the ripened fruit.
正因为如此，Vyasadeva说这个是成熟的果实。
This Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami.
说这个成熟的果实，圣典博伽瓦坛是由 Sukadeva Goswami 讲述的。
To Maharaj Parikshit.
Sukadeva Goswami 讲述给 Parikshita 王。
On the banks of the Ganges.
是在恒河岸边讲。
When Parikshit Maharaj had been cursed.
当时呢 ，Parikshita 王被诅咒。
He was cursed to have to die in 7 days.
他被诅咒七天以后就得死。
And Shukadeva Goswami, who is the acharya in disciplic succession, and came and spoke Bhagavatam.
Shukadeva Goswami, 他是师徒传承里头的一位灵性导师。这个时候他就来讲述了整个圣典博伽瓦坛。
And the quality, the characteristic, one of the characteristics of Shuka means parrot.
那个梵文 Shuka 的意思是那个鹦鹉。
One of the characteristics of a parrot is was when they bite into a fruit, then the fruit becomes even sweeter.
那个就是鹦鹉，它吃它有一个特点，就是当它去咬一个那个果实，成熟的果实，它咬完了以后，那个成熟的果实就变得更加的甜美。
So although Srimad Bhagavatam is naturally sweet.
所以尽管圣典摩迦瓦坛本身就是非常的甜美的一部文件
When it's presented by Shukadeva Goswami, it becomes even sweeter.
但是呢当由 Shukadeva Goswami 再讲述出来的时候它就变得更加的甜美了
Why is it sweeter?
为什么更加甜美呢
Because he's relishing it.
因为他自己本来就在品尝
And because he's relishing it, he's making it accessible.And for others to taste as well.
由于他自己本身就品尝那个美好的滋味，因此当他再给别人呈现的时候，他就让另外的那些人也更能够品尝到那个美好的滋味。
Srimad Bhagavatam is not simply dry academic philosophy.
实际上，圣典博伽瓦坛并不是枯燥乏味的所谓的学者做的那些个学问的东西。
We could sit around and hear so much academic philosophy, but it doesn't inspire the heart.
好，我们可以坐在那个地方，完了以后就去啊，去思辨那些个所谓的枯燥的哲学家编写的一些东西，但是那些枯燥的东西并不能够让我们的心感到甜美满足，因为那太枯燥乏味了。
It's philosophy.
那就是那些哲学。
But it's dry.
但是是非常枯燥乏味。
So many things I've tried to put together, this and that.
我必须把所有的东西就是放在一起，然后就是推敲来推敲去的这么样的做。
Srimad Bhagavatam is also philosophy.
圣典薄伽瓦坛它也是哲学。
But it's alive.
但是它是充满了生命力。
Why?
为什么？
Because Shukadeva Goswami makes it sweet for everyone to taste.
因为 Shukadeva Goswami 他透过他的讲述，使得这个圣典薄伽瓦坛在给所有听的听众感受到更加甜美的感觉。
And that's what Srila Prabhupada did.
这就是后来圣巴巴的又这么做。
He did the same thing.
他做了同样的事情。
He gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, and he made it sweet. So even unphilosophical, unacademic, unspiritual.
所以呢，圣帕帕德他又给我们呈现了他的这些要旨什么的，就解释给大家。所以呢，尽管那些个人就是
small brains
啊，就是完全不具资格，完全的就是就是没有灵性，反正总之他说了很多就不具资格的话，他因为说新的东西我就把他给忘了。
No memory.
啊，一点都没有记忆力。
Uncontrolled minds.
啊，然后那个自己的心都自己没法控制。
I can't even hear. If I hear philosophy, just straight dry philosophy, I can't even control my mind for 3 minutes.
啊，很多很多的人现在就是只要一听这种枯燥乏味的哲学，甚至我的心都不能够停留在那个主题上5分钟。
I immediately start thinking, well, what do I have to do after this?
啊，然后我就会想说，我这个完了以后我应该做什么？
I'm hungry.
我现在饿了。
My back is killing me.
哎呦，我的背疼死我了，让我死。
My wife is waiting for me.
哎呀，我妻子在等我。
I better get home.
我就要回家去。
So my mind's so disturbed.
哎呀，就是我的脑子一直受打扰。
Hearing all this philosophy, it's not going to my heart.
听所有这些枯燥乏味的哲学，根本都进不到我的心里头去。
What class gonna be over?
哎呦，这个课什么时候才结束
啊？ I remember one time I was giving a lecture in this temple in Hartford, Connecticut.
哦，有一次他给讲课在which place?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford 什么什么一个地方的一个庙里头。
And my godbrother, P.R. Mohan, lives there with his wife and his young son. His son was about 6 years old. 7 years old.
对，他是一个神经病，然后就跟他的妻子在一起，然后还有一个差不多7岁的一个小孩。
And P.R. used to make his son go to class every morning.
啊，然后那个 P.R. 就他那个神经病，每天早上把他儿子带去听课。
But his son didn't want to go to class.
但是他儿子当然不想去听课，7岁。
He wanted to be upstairs playing on computer games.
他想要在楼上，就是可以就是玩那个游戏，电脑。
He'd sit there like.
他就坐在那儿，就是很痛苦。
He wasn't listening to anything.
啊，他什么都不想听。
So I ended class and I said, "Anybody have any questions?"
啊，然后他说可以结束，我就问大家有什么问题吗？
And his son raised his hand.
然后他儿子就举手了。
And Pierre was looking at his son, saying,
"Just." 然后那个 Pierre 就看着他儿子这样，觉得就表现出很自豪，像你们看他儿子问问题。
He's asking a question.
他现在问问题了。
And his son asked, "Is class over yet?"
然后他儿子就说。课结束了，太痛苦了。
We can't sit and hear philosophy for a long time.
我们没办法坐在这个地方听那些枯燥的。
And absorb it all.
啊
？And absorb it all if it's dry.
Yeah. 如果这个哲学是非常枯燥乏味的话，我们根本没办法吸收。
But when it's relevant.
但是如果它是就是相关的有趣的
，and when it touches the heart，
当它触动了我们的心的话
，and then we think yes， this is it， this is the goal of philosophy。
然后我们就会想，哇，对呀，就是这个，这个就是哲学的一个目标嘛。
But That's the message of Bhagavatam.
这个就是圣典摩迦瓦坛的信息。
That's what Shukadev Goswami did to Parikshit Maharaj.
啊，这个就是 Shukadev Goswami 跟 Tarakasita 王讲的。
Parikshit Maharaj sat there for 7 days.
那个 Tarakasita 王坐在恒河岸边7天7夜。
Didn't eat.
没有吃。
Didn't sleep.
没睡。
For 7 straight days.
7天7夜。
And he asked a lot of questions.
他还问了很多问题。
And he didn't ask, "Are you finished yet?"
他并没有问说，哎，你结束了没有？
He said, "What you told me is nectar."
他说，你告诉我的所有的一切。
It's enlivening to my senses.
你告诉我的一切都是甘露，是让我的感官充满了生命。
Can you go deeper?
看能不能再说的深一点。
And please help me to understand more.
能不能帮助我理解更多一些？
Because Shukadev Goswami made it sweet.
因为 Shukadev Goswami 把这个圣典摩迦瓦坛变得更加的甜。
And Srila Prabhupada made Bhagavatam sweet.
圣帕巴德把这个圣典摩迦瓦坛。
Not just dry philosophy.
不是那种枯死的那种哲学。
So when we hear Bhagavatam in this way, in the spirit.
所以当我们以这样的方式聆听圣典摩迦瓦坛的话，我们。
Then the awakens within the heart the desire. I want to hear more.
啊，然后呢，就唤醒我们心中的愿望，就是说，我想听得更多，我多听一些。
As soon as you think I want to hear more, you're saying I want Krishna.
当你说我想听更多的时候，实际上你就在说我要 Krishna.
Because that's all Bhagavatam is.
因为这个就是圣典摩迦瓦坛讲的。
You immediately get Krishna's attention.
你通过这么做，立刻你就得到了
Krishna
的注意力。
Krishna thinks, oh, he wants me.
啊，然后 Krishna 说，哦，他想要我。
Let me help him.
让我来帮助他。
He wants me.
他想要我。
He doesn't want anything else that I cannot give him. He wants me.
他不想要我能给他的所有的一切，他只要我。
He's rejected everything else.
他把所有其他的全部都拒绝了。
And wants me.
只是要我。
How can I ever leave him?
我怎么能够再从此我再离开他呢？
Krishna thinks like that.For anyone who becomes eager to hear his message,
对任何一个急切的想聆听有关他信息的人，他都是这样。
That's what Vyasadeva is saying here.
这就是 Vyasadeva 在这儿说的 ，Vyasadeva.
Completely rejecting all cheating religions.
就是拒绝掉、摒除掉所有骗人的宗教。
Kaitava Dharma, Kaitava means cheating.
Kaitava Dharma 的 Kaitava 的意思就是。欺骗。
This Bhagavatam rejects all these Kaitava Dham.
这个圣典摩迦瓦坛，摒除所有欺骗的宗教。
It propounds the highest truth, Krishna.
而把这个最高的真相真理 Krishna 给我们唱。
This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva, is sufficient in itself for God realization.
这个由 Vyasadeva 所编纂的。这么优美的圣典摩迦瓦坛本身就能够使人觉悟到神。
What is the need of any other scripture?
我们还需要其他的经典吗？不需要了。
As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam,
当人一旦开始集中注意力，专注地聆听有关圣典摩迦瓦坛的信息的时候
，By this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within us.
然后通过这个知识文化。神就直接在我们心中。
This is what we're reading.
这个就是我们读的东西。
Not dry philosophy.
这个不是什么枯燥乏味的哲学。
It's real.
是真的，充满生命力。
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions?
大家有什么问题吗？
That's over
yet. 问一下，这个课停了吗？结束了吗？
可能你有
什么问题？什么问题
？Ask your question.
问你的问题，课结束了吗？OK， 加拉加拉，
课结束了吗？我想多听一些。
The class is over. I want to listen more.
Class is over for tonight.
今天晚上就到此结束。
There'll be more.
啊，会，到时候会有更多。
Okay.
Okay.
老师，我想问一个问题。
Okay.
就是呈现只有心地纯洁的奉献者才能理解的最高真理。那当然，这句话本身看起来是很清楚的。可是，所谓的 pure in heart， 就是我在想， 所谓那个心到底是哪一个层次的心，我到目前都还不是特别搞得清楚。就是当英文在讲 heart， 然后讲 mind， 然后到底就是假设我有人发现他自己心理不纯洁，那他该清理的是那个 heart 还是那个 mind？
OK，
对，我想知道的更
深。所以你的问题主要是，这个 heart 和 mind 彼此之间的关系是什么？
然后最近到底是哪里会不纯洁？不知道要从哪里去清。
Yeah， so Shrimla Bhagavan， you know， give the message to the 100% pure， you know the heart pure devotee， but she feel confused that she doesn't know what is the difference between mind and heart。And you know, how can we know, you know, my heart is not pure? And what I realize, okay, not pure, and where I should work, you know,
mind. Where I should work on is like, I feel like I'm not pure in heart. Am I really not pure in heart? Or is my mind covered with dust? So where should I work on to purify myself? Yeah, that's my question.
Good question.
很好问题。
If we are not pure and we want to become more pure, then we have to associate with that which is pure.
他说如果我们自己觉得我们自己不纯洁，然后我们想要变得纯洁的话，我们应该跟那些个纯洁的人联
谊。Prabhupada used the example that if you have an iron rod and you place it in a fire, it becomes like fire.
他说啪啪的就举一个例子说，如果你有一块铁，然后你把那块铁放到火里面去，到最后那块铁就变成烙铁了，就像火一样。
It's iron.
那本来它是铁。
But if you keep it in fire long enough, it will do everything that fire does.
但是呢，如果你把它放到那个火里头时间够长的话，到最后它就具备了所有火的性质。
By prolonged association with the fire.
所以这就是要长期的放在火里头，它就变了。
Similarly, if we have impure hearts.
所以呢，同样道理，如果我们的心不纯洁的话
，we have to and we want to purify our heart.
而我们又想要净化我们的心
，we have to associate with that which is pure.
我们必须跟内心纯洁的人联谊。
Davachitamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Shuddha Dipta Bhakto Binapat Nama Nama. Krishna's name is always transcendental and pure.
刚才他就读了一段梵文，意思就是 Krishna 的名字永远都是超然的纯洁。
Krishna will bestow all spiritual benedictions.
Krishna 会给我们所有的灵性的利益。
His name is never in contact with material energy.
那个他的名字从来都跟物质能量没有接触。
Krishna's name is non-different than Krishna.
Krishna 的名字跟 Krishna 本人没有区别。
Therefore, the more we associate with his name, the more we become pure.
所以呢，我们越多的接触他的名字，我们就越变得纯洁。
That is the power of the holy name.
这个实际上是圣灵的力量。
But we also need to hear about the holy name.
但是呢，我们还要需要聆听有关圣灵。
Because sometimes people may chant the holy name with impure motives.
因为有的时候人们是带着不纯洁的动机在吟诵吟唱圣灵。
They may think, I want to become one with God.
人可能想的是，我想要变成神，跟神合一一体。
I want to be liberated.
我想要解脱。
I want so many material motivations.
就是说我要这个，我要那个，有那么多那么多物质的动机。
But when one hears the glories of the holy name,
但是当人听了圣灵的那些个光荣荣耀以后
，and receives the name from those who understand how Krishna and His name is not different from them.
而且呢，他接受这个名字是从那些个已经明白了。Krishna 本人和 Krishna 的名字是没有区别的那种人那里去得到这个。
Then by chanting the name, having heard about the name,
他就是通过聆听了有关这些个名字的一切，然后再去吟诵吟唱。
One will have more faith in the name.
人就会有越来越多的信心。
Because without faith, the name won't act.
因为没有信心，那个名字是不会起作用的。
But when there's faith.
但是如果有了信心
very quickly,
它就会
very powerful.
那个名字就会非常快速非常强有力的就开始起作用
because the whole process of purification means to advance in our levels of faith
因为实际上所有的进化程序都是为了让我们的信心越来越强，越来越足。
So we have to associate with those who have faith in it.
所以我们必须要跟那些个有信心的人交往联谊。
Hear from them why they still chanting the holy name.
要去听他们为什么他们这么长时间了还在吟诵无上圣名。
Hear from them about what is the actual goal of chanting the holy name.
然后去聆听他们讲述有关吟诵无上圣名的目的到底是什么。
And although one can chant the holy name once and immediately eradicate all sinful activities accumulated from millions of births.
尽管经典说吟诵无上圣名哪怕一次就可以洗净他千百万世所积累的那些个恶报。
The difficulty is what do we do next?
那然后问题困难在于就是说 OK 清楚了然后下一步我做什么呢
Oh, I'm going to enjoy the fact that I've eradicated millions of reactions from sinful reactions of millions of births and now I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do I can just enjoy because I have no more sinful reactions
我们是说 OK 反正我现在念了一句了然后我已经把所有千百万是积累的恶报已经全部都清除掉了我现在什么都不需要做我只要享受就好了能这样吗
And therefore, the name will not act.
那如果是这样的一个心态的话，那个名字是不起作用。
One won't achieve the actual goal of chanting the holy name.
啊，人他需要得到那个吟诵吟唱圣名的那个真正的目的。
So one actually.
人如果是那种心态，人是不能得到这样的结果的。
It's a nice story. It's a simple story. I'll just tell it to help you understand.
Okay.
Sure.
No problem.
No problem.
Still have some time. Not 8:30 yet.
Short story.
OK, 他现在要讲一个故事，很短。他说有时间的问题。OK, 我说没关系，就是简单的讲。
There was a disciple who went to his guru.
有一个学生去找他的老师去了。
He said to his guru,
他说
"Can you tell me something really confidential?"
他就跟他的老师说。林林老师啊，你能不能告诉我什么真正特别机密的什么东西？你告诉我。
I just please, I've been serving you. I want to hear something very confidential.
我恳求你，我已经侍奉你那么长时间了，我真的想听听你说特别机密的事情。
So his guru told him about the holy name.
然后他的林林老师就跟他讲了有关这个圣名。
And said, "This is very confidential."
说这个是特别机密的。
You chant this holy name; it will give you love for Krishna.
说如果你吟诵吟唱这个圣名了，到最后这个圣名就会给你对神的对 Krishna 的爱。
Not to commit any offenses.
但是要特别小心，千万不要做出任何冒犯。
And that this name will act, but I'm telling you very confidentially.
好，然后只要你不做任何冒犯，这个名字就会。起作用，但是你一定要保密哦。
So the boy was, wow, my guru.
然后这个学生就说，哦，我终于得到了非常非常机密的，我老师告诉我很机密的东西了。
So he left the guru's ashram.
然后他就离开了他的那个灵隐导师住的地方。
Feeling very confident, he has some very confidential instruction.
结果呢，他就。感到非常充满了信心，得到了非常机密的讯息。
And while he was walking along the path, he saw some village women.
然后呢，但是在路上走的时候，在路上他遇上一个村里的一个女人，一个。
In village women, when they're washing clothes in India, they usually just they beat it against them.
那我们知道这个村妇洗衣服都是在石头上甩那个衣服再挡，不是
？And that they take rock. They...Beat it against the clothes.
然后他们就拿那个石头去砸那个衣服。
And they would saw the village women. They were chanting Hare Krishna.
然后他就开始，他看到，哎，怎么那些农村妇女一边在那个打衣服，一边就在唱 Hare Krishna 呢
I thought I had something really confidential.
然后他就觉得，哟，我刚才以为我得到的是很机密的东西。
My guru Maharaj just told me he gave me very something very. It is simple women.
说我灵隐导师刚才还跟我说特别机密的，结果你看看这些个单纯的农村妇女，她们居然都在唱。
So he just thought it was coincidence.
然后他就想，哎呦 ，OK， 就不是那么回事。
Continued to go.
然后他就继续走。
And he saw some fishermen.
然后又看到了渔民。
And they were pulling in the nets with fish.
那个渔民正在捕鱼呢，正在这个把网在拉过来，就是。
And they were chanting Hare Krishna.
结果他们也在唱 Hare Krishna.
Now this is starting to get disturbed.
哎呦，这下他真的觉得。
He didn't give me anything confidential.
他根本就没有给我什么机密的东西，你看都在。
And then he saw some boys playing.
然后他就看到有小男孩在玩。
The boys were throwing the ball back and forth.
啊，那个男孩就是把那个球扔来扔去。
They were chanting Hare Krishna.
结果他们也在唱 Hare Krishna.
He said, "That's it."
够，我够。
我不要。I'm going back to my guru.
我要回去找我那个老师去。
And he went back to his spiritual master and said, "Look, I thought you told me something confidential."
然后他就跟他领导说，你看，我以为你告诉我一些机密的东西。
I saw these village women, I saw these fishermen, I saw these boys. I'm chanting Hare Krishna.
结果我就看到村夫、渔民、小孩子，他们都在唱这个 Hare Krishna.
Please explain this to me.
那你给我解释一下到底是怎么回事？
So the guru could immediately understand what was going on in the mind of his
student. 所以呢，灵性导师当然他一下就能明白那学生到底在想什么。
He said, "Here, take this stone."This is a very valuable touchstone.
他的老师就说 ，OK， 我现在给你一块石头，这个石头是非常贵重的点金石。
And he began explaining what the stone could do.
然后他就开始解释这个点金石到底能做什么。
Since you go and you bring this stone and try to get something of equal value in return for the stone from these people.
那然后呢？他说你，然后你拿着这一块石头去跟你遇到的人。你就去交换，因为这是一个很贵重的石头，你看看能不能换回跟这个石头一样贵重的东西。
And that's all he said.
这他就
didn't give any other instruction.
他就没再说别的了。
Disciple had the stone.
啊，那这个门徒就拿到。
So he went back to the village women.
然后他就去找那些个村妇去。
And he said, "You see this stone?"
那你看这块石头了吗？
Can you give something? Can you appreciate its value?
你能不能欣赏这个石头的价值
？And the women looked at the stone.And they started beating the clothes with it.
然后那个村妇看到那块石头，拿一下，准备开始就能给他砸衣服。
Immediately, you can understand they didn't appreciate the value.
所以那个门徒一下就知道，他们根本就不欣赏不了这块石头。
He went to the fishermen.
然后他又去找那个渔民去了。
Look at the stone.
他说：“你看看这石头。
Do you appreciate its value?
啊，你能不能欣赏这个石头
？What can you give me in return?
你能不能给我这个？”价值相等的东西。
They looked at the stone and they decided to tie it to the net.
他们看了这个石头以后，决定把它系在那个网子上，这样可以有下坠的。
So he immediately took it back.
然后他又把它拿回来。
And then he went to the boys.
他又去找那些小男孩。
And the boys also didn't know anything about it.
那这个小男孩也不知道这个。
He started throwing it back and forth.
开始就扔来扔去这块石头。
So.He came back to his spiritual master and said, "So, did you try to get something of equal value for the stone?"
然后呢，那个灵导就问了，说怎么样？你有没有得回就是跟这个石头一样有价值是什么东西啊
？He said, "No, nobody could appreciate its value."
他说没人能真正的欣赏它的价值。
They were using it to beat clothes.
他们拿它去砸衣服，
that,
去坠那个网子，然后就来来回回扔着玩。
He said, "Similarly, many people may chant Hare Krishna."
So the spiritual master said.
Yes.
So the 灵性导师就说，这是同样的道理。有很多人也许在唱 Hare Krishna.
But they'll remain indifferent to the holy name.
但是呢，实际上他们那个是不一样。
Understand this.
他说，请你明白的。
That I gave you something very confidential.
他说，我给你非常机密的东西。
Because I explained to you.Truth and glory of the holy name.
因为我给你解释了那个圣名的真相和它的光明之所在。
You can appreciate its value.
所以你就可以欣赏那个圣名的价值。
So although many people may chant Hare Krishna, if they don't appreciate its value, they won't get the value of it, true value of the holy name.
他说同样道理，很多人可能在唱这个 Hare Krishna mantra， 但是因为他们不了解这个 mantra 本身的价值，因此他们就得不到。他该有的那些功效。
Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita it states that one has to hear the truth and the beauty of Krishna's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures from Vaishnavas.
正因为如此，永恒的柴坦亚经里就说了，人应该从 真正的 Vaishnava 那里去聆听有关这个圣灵的真
相和价值。There's no other way to taste
the 否则的话没有其他的方法可以真正的去品尝到 Krishna 圣灵的甜美。
And when you taste the sweetness,
当你开始品尝到那个甜美的时候
you know your heart's becoming pure.
那个时候你就知道你的心纯洁了。
You don't have to ask anybody else.
你根本不需要去问别人。
Bhagavatam says it's like a person who's eating.
这个就是薄伽梵歌里就Bhagavatam, 圣典薄伽瓦坛里说了这就像人吃东西一样。
Very important verse.
这节诗非常重要。
Devotion, direct experience of God and detachment from material things come simultaneously for a person who's engaged in devotional service.
对于这个从事在对于做奉爱服务的人来说，就是为依恋神和越来越不依恋所有物质的东西是同时有的。
This is pleasure.Nourishment and a relief from hunger.
这个就像一个人他吃东西以后他感受到那个好的感觉和饱的感觉不再饿的感觉一样。
They come simultaneously and increasingly for a person who's eating.
随着人不断地吃下去食物他越来越不感到饿同时越来越感到饱足和高兴起。
When you eat,
当你吃的时候
it's good, you know.
你自己知道
if you're hungry.
对尤其是你饿的人你马上知道很好
you don't have to ask anybody else, does this taste good?
那个时候你就不需要再问别人说哎，这食物到底好吃吗
you know
你一吃进去你就知道了
not only that, but you feel strength if you haven't been eating, you get strength from eating
而且当你吃进去的时候不仅是好吃不好吃你知道你身体有没有力量你都知道
and your hunger goes away
你因为你那饿的感觉
When you're eating, you ask somebody, is my hunger going away?
在你吃的时候你有没有去问其他人哎，我还饿吗不会怎么办
you know.
你自己知道
So Bhagavatam says that when a person is becoming pure
圣典薄伽瓦坛里说当一个人变得纯洁的时候
He experiences that they're becoming detached from material things
他就会感受到他越来越不依恋物质的东西
You know.
你就会知道。
You know.
你知道。
So you have to hear about purity.
所以呢，你必须聆听有关那个纯洁。
That is the most powerful method of purifying the heart.
这个是能够净化我们的最强有力的方法。
You have to hear the truth and beauty of Krishna's name.
如果你能够听到就是 Krishna 名字的那个甜美。
And then Krishna will clean your heart.
那 Krishna 就会净化你的心。
You don't have to do anything.
你自己不需要做什么。
Krishna will do all the cleaning.
Krishna 他会为你去洗擦你的心。
He cleans much better than we can do ourselves.
当他来净化我们的时候，比我们自己要做要好多了，做得好多了。
He says this person wants me.
他说这个人想要我。
I'll remove all the obstacles for them.
我会为他去除所有的障碍。
I'll take all the obstacles away so they can come to me.
我会把他路途上的所有的障碍都拿走，让他能够来到我这里。
Because Krishna knows.
因为 Krishna 知道。
When you want him.
当你想要他的时候。
You can't fool him.
你不可能欺骗 Krishna.
Why?
为什么？
Because he's in your heart.
因为他本来就在你心里的。
That's the difference between the heart and the mind.
这个就是心和脑子的这个区别。
Krishna's in your heart.
Krishna 就在你心。
And your heart, he gives you confirmation. Yes, I'm happy.
在你的心里头，他就给你那种就是自信啊，什么这些。
Yes,
OK, 是的，我真的快乐了。
And when he gives that confirmation in your heart, you know.
对，当你内在真正有了那个感觉的时候，你自己
知道。You don't have to ask anybody.
你不需要去问别人。
You know.
对，你自己知道。
Because it's so far better than anything else you ever experienced.
因为那种感觉比你感受过的所有的其他东西都好上千万倍，没法比。
And you soon you get a little taste of it.
你只要得到那么一点点的品味的话
，you become greedy for it.
你就开始变得贪婪的，想要越来越多的。
I want more.
我想要更多。
And Krishna says, "You take one step to me."
Krishna 说你向我走一步
And I'll take 10 steps to you.
我就向你走十步
I'll take 100 steps to you.
我向你走一百步
That's the difference Krishna's in the heart
这个就是区别 Krishna 在我们心中。
And Krishna knows when we're doing something for his pleasure.
而且 Krishna 知道我们做什么事情是为了他高兴做的吗？他都知道。
And he acts within the heart and removes all the obstacles.
他就在我们的心中就会起作用，然后把我们心中的这些个所有的障碍去除掉。
Uncontrolled mind is like a reservoir of all ideas for sense enjoyment.
啊，而这种不受控制的心念，就是一直就是一团麻似的，乱七八糟的。
Mind is always thinking, it's going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing.
对，我们的心念就是一会儿想这个，想那个，想那个，想那个。
It's accepting this.
啊，接受这个。
This looks good.
这个看起来不错。
Now is it not working anymore?
哎呦，现在又不起作用。
This looks better.
哎，这个看上去更好。
I'll try that.
哎，我要试这个。
Not working anymore.
啊，又不做了，不起作用。
Let's try this.
让我来试这个。
Right. So that's what the mind does.
这个就是我们的心念就是这样。
Goes from this to that. Accepts, rejects, accepts, rejects.
接受拒绝，接受拒绝，就这样。
But when the mind accepts Krishna.
嗯，但是当我们的心念开始接受 Krishna 的时候。
Then Krishna says, "Oh yes, now he's got. Now he's going for me."
Krishna 就知道说，哦，现在他开始来找我了。
Let me help.
让我开始还就是帮助他。
Give him a little.
让我
glimpse.
现在先给他一点点的滋味，让他尝一下，鼓励他一下。
That's what Krishna. That's when the heart starts taking charge.
这个时候，我们的那个心就开始掌管。
Because Krishna is in the heart of every living being.
因为 Krishna 就住在每一个生物体。
And he knows when we want him.
他知道我们要。
So that's how you have to distinguish.
所以这个就是你怎么样去分辨。
Follow your heart.
啊，就跟随你的心。
If Krishna in your heart saying yes, let's go there, go there.
如果 Krishna 在你心中说哦对了，你就去那儿。
That's where I am.
我就在那儿。
Right? Then go there.
那你就去那
儿。And see if you don't meet Krishna there.
你就看是遇到了
Krishna. That's how one accepts guru.
那这也就一个人就接受灵性导师。
One accepts guru by saying, "Oh, when I hear from him, I see Krishna."
那有些人就是这样，当他聆听了灵性导师的讲课，他说：“哦，我听了他的讲课，我就已经看到了
Krishna. I hear Krishna.
对，所以我接受。
You can't say, "Krishna, go away. I don't want to hear from you."
你不能说 Krishna 走开，我不想听你。
If he appears.Then keep on going. If Krishna appears. If Krishna appears in the words of Guru.
Yeah. 如果 Krishna 通过灵性导师的话语出现了，你就去。
Then you follow. You go on hearing.
那你就去，你就。
Because hearing is the most important.
因为聆听是最重要。
Nothing is more important than hearing.
没有什么比心的聆听更重要。
And Guru doesn't want anything more than your ears.
那个灵性导师呢？除了你聆听有关 Krishna， 他别的东西他不要。
It's all he wants.
这个就是他要的。
So the more you hear about Krishna, the more you get Krishna.
所以你听 Krishna 越多，你得到 Krishna 越多。I have a question.
You have a question.
Yeah. But maybe too late.
I don't know.
Because you said that listen to your heart, and outside many group, spiritual group also teach that don't listen to your mind, just listen to your heart. But you know, if it's not Krishna, just listen to your heart. What you can get?
No, that's not what I said. I said listen to your heart,
mm-hmm.
as to whom you should accept as a person who will be able to give you Krishna.
Mm-hmm.Okay, so you have a condition.
No, it's not my condition. It's Krishna's condition.
Okay.
Tandini pranipati na pari krishna in saviya. It's not my condition.
Okay.
I'm just repeating what Krishna said.
Okay. 所以我刚才我就提了一个问题，因为我就说，他刚刚在谈那个 mind 和那个 heart 之间的区别。那最后领导就不是说 OK 那边是 Krishna， 所以你就去了，就怎么怎么样。我说，但是你是在教人，就是聆听你的心嘛。可是外面有很多的灵性的团体也在教你，不要听你的脑子里在说什么，你就聆听你的心就行了。可是，在他们的教导里头，并没有说你的就是跟 Krishna 有关的东西。那你这个时候如果聆听你的心的话，那你要去哪儿呢？ 所以他说这不是我说的，我说的就是你要去听他说 Krishna， 然后你觉得好的时候 OK 你要去。哦，我说哦，那这是你提出来的条件。他说不是我提出来的条件，是 Krishna 在这里头提出来的。我说我提特别好，对，要不然我就
Because this Srimad Bhagavatam is handed down to disciple succession。
嗯，因为这个圣典国家瓦坛是由师徒传承传下来。
And therefore one has to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以人们应该聆听有关圣言的。
Hear the glories of the holy name.
聆听有关圣名的荣耀。
And more one goes on hearing.
人越聆听。
More the heart becomes pure.
他的心就会变越纯。
So we need confirmation within the heart as to whom we should hear from.
所以呢，我们应该就是聆听我们内心告诉我们的，我们到底应该听谁讲话。
We must know that we have to hear.
但是我们必须要知道，我们是必须要聆听的。
We should never think that I can get Krishna alone.
我们千万不要以为说，我只要就是独自就这样，什么就不需要听，怎样我就可以得到 Krishna。
That's foolish people think that way.
愚蠢的人就会这么认为。
They think that yes, I can go to Krishna directly. I don't need anybody else.
有些人就认为说，我可以直接就去 Krishna 那，我根本不需要其他人。
Example is given just like a person off in the distance, he sees Mount Everest, which is the tallest mountain.
He said, just like someone is okay, in the distance, seeing the
mountain. So all he sees is Mount Everest. He can't see that there are many other mountains next to Mount
Everest. He can only see the tallest mountain, then he can't see any other mountains.
But if he comes closer,
but if he comes closer,
You'll see that there are many subordinate mountains next to Mount.
就看到那个最高的山旁边还有很多很多矮一点的山。
But when he's far away, he only sees Mount Everest.
但是呢，在很远的地方，你只看到最高的那个山。
So sometimes people think that yes, it's just Krishna. And me.
然后呢，有时候人们就想了，哦，那是 Krishna， 就我 ，OK， 就这样可以了。
But that means we're far away.
但实际上，如果我们这么看问题的话，说明我们实际上离得很远。
If we want to get close to Krishna, we have to see that there are many others who are close to Krishna also.
Yeah.
And it's not just Krishna and me.
所以当我们就是走近的时候，我们可以看到，其实，在那座最高的山的旁边还有其他的山。也就是说，我在我的这个跟 Krishna 的中间，其实还有很多很多的人在那个地方。
So point is that.Yes, we follow our heart.
所以呢，重点是，是的，我们要聆听我们的心。
And get confirmation within the heart.
然后就是心中会告诉我们
who we should hear from.
我们应该听谁讲
？So that we can get Krishna.
然后让我们能够得到 Krishna.
There's another story about that, but I won't tell.
Okay, 还有另外一个故事，我就不要讲了。
It's a story about Prabhupada.
哦，是他的一个故事。
Oh yeah.Anyways,
maybe next time.
It's a heavy story.
Oh, okay. Okay, next time.
Yeah.
好吗？还有谁有问题吗？没有。Okay.
All right. Other
questions. All right. 你完成了吗？马上去听一下。
在。